Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited earnings conference call Q2 FY21 and FY21. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aisha. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the Advanced Enzyme Technology Limited second quarter and first half FY21 earnings call. Today we have with us the senior management team of the company, led by Mr. Mukund Kabra, Director, and Mr. B.P. Rauka, Group CFO. We will begin the call with opening remarks from the management, which shall be followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over the floor to the management for their opening comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I am Mukund Kabra. It is my pleasure to convey our quarter two results of the financial year 2020-21. Firstly, we hope and pray that you and your families are in good health and spirit during this turbulent time. In the first part of this call, as Nitin said, we will take you through the earnings and the business highlights, followed by the question and answers session. To commence with, I would talk about the nutraceutical industry as it is projected to grow substantially in coming years. The factor behind this growth would be rising awareness regarding calorie reduction and weight loss in countries like US, and India is expected to promote the application of nutraceuticals. Use of nutraceuticals is gaining attraction as preventive healthcare due to no side effect of enzymes and probiotics, and the increasing popularity of enzymes across various industries like food, non-food, and non-food process industries. The constant innovation in research and development activities to improve enzyme specificity as well as stability is further expected to propel the growth. Now, I would like to give some color on operational aspects. Despite of COVID pandemic situation, we are able to maintain our healthy export levels. Even the margins are improved further comparing with past quarters. As we mentioned in our last earning call, that broken supply chain and logistical issues are hampering the export business, but now they are coming back to normalcy, except in Europe as a continent, which is again facing a second wave of lockdown. All over the manufacturing units are running efficiently and progressing well towards normalcy. We are following all the government guidelines in terms of keeping precautions and safety. Our R&D units are operational and we are working with as per government guidelines and progressing well on achieving normalcy as pre-COVID levels. Talking about the business updates, our probiotic business is growing good and is expected to improve further in the coming quarters. Our animal feed business and industrial enzyme business has faced several challenges due to COVID in quarter one mainly. Quarter two witnessed improvement in sales, but still far from the normalcy. Moving ahead with the call, we proudly announce that we are positive on all the parameters and working relentlessly towards our goal for this financial year. As you are aware, we strongly believe in delivering long-term value to our esteemed stakeholders and glad to announce that we have a decent growth in profitability because of our product mix. In past, we explained that our annual financial results are more relevant to derive our performance and also for comparative purpose. We are happy to say that our EBITDA stood at Rs. 110.2 crore, 48% of sales, increased by 9% from Rs. 100.8 crore, 45% of sale in financial year 20, and our PAT increased by 12% and stood at Rs. 73.4 crore, 32% as compared to 65.8 crore, which was 30% in last year. The outlook for financial year 21 is positive with lower single digit growth is what we can see right now, rest it depends upon how situation plan out, because Europe has again held in lockdown due to second wave of pandemic. We are still in a very dynamic situation with the coronavirus pandemic still persisting and has an effect on the supply chain front. So we get more clarity going forward in quarter three, and we will be able to say more precisely and with clarity how the year would plan out. But we expect even in such a tough situation, we are here to be defend, as we are committed to grow, committed to growth without sacrificing our margins and maintain the stakeholders' value. Now let me hand over this to Raukaji, who will our CFO, who will walk you through the company's financial. Raukaji.
Thank you very much, Prabhupada. Thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. The financial highlights for 6 months as of 30th September 2020, the revenue is increased by 91 million. This is about 4% increase from 2218 million to 2309 million. And our EBITDA is increased by 9% from 1008 million to 1102 million. PBT is increased by 126 million, which is about 14% increase from 891 million to 1017 million. And PAT is also increased about 12% from 658 million to 734 million. On Q on Q basis, our numbers are like, you know, growth is about 99 million in our top line, which is revenue. And this is about 9% growth from 1105 million to 1204 million. And EBITDA is increased by about 68 million. This is an increase of about 13% to 485 million. PBT, profit before tax, is up by 4% by 21 million in absolute number from 498 million to 519 million. And PAT is increased by 38 million from 348 million to 386 million. Year on year revenue is increased by about 8% from 1114 million to 1204 million. And EBITDA is increased by about 24% from 473 million to 585 million. Profit before tax is up by 25% on year on year basis, from 416 million to 519 million. And PAT is increased by 21% from 318 million to 386 million. And the couple of questions generally, you know, are being asked is about Evoxx. So Evoxx, the revenue, I mean, the top line for the 6 months is 111 million. And we are EBITDA positive in this company by 5 million. Jersey Biotech sale is about 214 million for 6 months, which is, you know, the procurement of serasupeptidase from them by the parent company, Advanced Enzyme. And the sale of serasupeptidase for the 6 months is about 488 million. So this is from my side, and I feel we can open the house for question answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. And congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers. So as we are seeing that, I mean, gradually we are inching up in the top line. And I think first time we have touched 120 crore on the quarterly run rate. So just wanted to your thoughts going forward, when we can expect this run rate to touch somewhere 150 crore kind of figure, and where basically it would be coming from your human side or animal or bioprocessing side, or it will be across the segment.
So Rohit, thank you, Rohit.
Yeah, Rohit, sir.
Thank you, Rohit. As we were like already talking, like we plan to double our revenue in next 5 years. Now this is the COVID time, and it's a difficult time to really project when and how it will achieve. We still say that we have three horses or three divisions, right, which will grow. One of them is pharma and nutraceutical. The second vertical is animal feed, and the third one is food one, industry bioprocessing. Okay, so and the horizontal sector, horizontal is like your providing. So the growth will come from this segment. It's difficult to say when the run rate will be 150. Right now, what we expect is for this year, we should have a positive growth, maybe in some lower digits. And as we move on, the clarity will emerge when and how we should really expect the growth to accelerate.
Okay. So secondly, on the margin side, I mean, in this quarter, we have seen a lot of other chemical companies getting benefit out of that lower crude oil prices, and because of that, margins were a kind of super normal level. For Advanced Enzyme, crude has nothing to connect with, and despite that, we have a significant margin expansion. So just wanted to know which are the factors playing for us in this quarter. And I mean, it is the product mix or raw material benefits, and going forward, how we should see this?
So, Rohit, this is couple of factors. The cost of the raw materials has gone up instead of going down, and on a pricely basis, like if you talk about per kg, raw material cost has gone up, but it's a product mix. At the same time, improvement in the efficiency in the productions, which has increased the margins. Crude, you rightly said, crude has no impact on us. It's a very minor amount which we use. So crude has no impact right now. It's just the efficiencies and the product mix.
Okay. So that is from my side, sir. I will come back in queue.
Thank you. We would request the participants to please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I was wondering if you could help us with the pricing on the animal enzymes front, because I think since meat consumption, etc., has gone down post-COVID, how is that shaping up for us? Are we seeing a decent amount of demand and improvement in pricing now, or still not?
So, Shikha, good evening. We have seen some improvement when you compare it with quarter one, but if you compare quarter on quarter, there is still, we are like, I think 10% below the level.
Okay. We're still 10% below pre-COVID levels or below?
Below pre-COVID level, we can say that.
Okay. And so can you give how much sales you did from pharma this quarter and this half year?
Rauka ji?
Yeah. So let me give you for this quarter, the human nutrition, which includes nutraceutical also, the sale is about 885 million. And animal nutrition is about 132 million. Bioprocess, which is food, bioprocess food is about 123 million. So roughly 10% of our sales has come from there. And non-food bioprocess is about 5%, 63 million. So 11% has come from animal nutrition. Human nutrition is about 73%. And bioprocess is 16%. This is how the quarter, you can say, vertical-wise or depending upon the product-wise bifurcation which we carry out.
Right. And so do we have anything on our radar about inorganic growth? Have we found any company that we're looking to acquire, or is anything on the radar on that front?
Yeah, of course. We always work on that. And whenever we will find any suitable target, I think we are definitely looking for that.
Yes. At the appropriate time, we'll come back, Ishita.
All right. And so if you can give how much percentage of our revenue came from our top 10 clients this quarter?
Yes. Top 10 customer, we have about 38%-40%. That is the range in which generally we get the numbers.
Right. So, and if you could give how much R&D spend for the quarter and for the half year?
R&D spend is about this quarter is 50 million. And total spending for the half year is about 89 million as compared to 88 million last year for 6 months.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back and look you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Agarwal from Akash Ganga Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So presently, we are utilizing around 60% of our capacity. I know you have hinted this year you are unable to give further guidance more than single-digit growth. But by when do you feel you will be able to utilize around 90% of the capacity? In the next 2 years, you will be able to reach that number?
So Akash ji, 3-4 years, we should be able to there.
Which year?
3-4 years.
4 years. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't get the number.
Sorry. Can you please repeat?
No. The capacity utilization is around 60% right now. By when will you touch the number 90% capacity utilization?
So we think that we can double the revenue with this capacity, what is the existing capacity what we have.
Okay.
So we feel that in the next 5 years, we should be able to double the sales.
Okay.
So that should give you somewhere 3-4 years down the line. Probably we should reach to the 90% of capacity utilization.
So one of our large U.S. customers, the revenue had halved, and we had made up by domestic sales. So could you give us light whether those revenue or lost sales will the customer again will we be able to meet that demand?
No, sir.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rauka.
Yeah, Rauka. Go ahead. You can.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that from the top customer, we have no sales in last 3 quarters. And if we really look at the U.S. number in the second quarter, we could see a growth of 9%. So if I exclude on YTD basis, the sales number of that particular customer, where we had some sales during last two quarters of FY20, but no sales in this two quarters. So US business has really grown very well. It is more than 35% of growth in the US. So the sales is made up by the US itself, in this two quarters.
Okay. So that business is a permanent loss, but in spite of that, we have grown.
Yes, you're right. So on the dollar terms, if I really look at my US numbers, we had about 14.5 million sales in YTD of FY20, and this year again we are having about 13.80 million. So we already met up in that sense. So
okay.
Slightly it is lower, about 5%.
Okay.
So which I think we should be in a position to make up in this year.
So lastly, a side question. An inactive promoter recently sold a little less than 3% stake and they still have 12% stake. So any transaction will have any impact on our operations of our company? One of the promoter group who is inactive sold around 3% of their stake and they still control 12%. So any such transaction, will it have an impact on our operations? Any management change or anything such?
No, they are not involved into operation as such, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that will not have impact. Those will be financial investors only.
Absolutely.
Okay. And any plans are there by them to sell the balance stake also, sir? Any idea on that?
We have no idea
about it.
So lastly, what is the expected tax rate for this year and next year?
You mean to say effective tax rate?
Yes.
So it is likely to be 28% this year as well as next year also.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran Kumar from Suffol Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, sir. Just wanted to understand, Advanced Enzymes, they operate, cater to multiple sectors. Are we also planning to explore into new sectors in terms of applications of enzymes, or how does it work?
So we have three verticals, as I was explaining. So our focus is right now on these three verticals. One is human and nutraceuticals. We further categorize this into four: pharma, then your nutraceutical, biocatalyst, and probiotics. The second sector is animal nutrition, and the third one is bioprocessing, where we again bifurcate into food and non-food. So our focus is on the food area. So right now, all the application developments and other things, whatever we are doing, is based on these three verticals. And the providing is the horizontal vertical, which fits into all these segments.
Okay. And we have, significant amount of cash on books right now. So do we have any plans, concrete plans to utilize how to spend this cash, like give out dividends or maybe look at strategic acquisitions? What are the plans we have right now for the cash?
So we always look for the cash is required for the company to grow. We are the growing company, so we believe that we need to have a cash in hand for any right opportunity. Of course, we are always searching for the inorganic growth as well, for the acquisition. And that is constantly going on.
Okay, that's it on my side. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from HP Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my question. So I wanted to understand basically the margin profiles of enzymes in India vis-a-vis USA. as to what margins do we get in India and what we get in USA.
Okay.
Yeah, margins are slightly better in US because, you know, in US, we are into a business where we generally give kind of, you know, very, very customized solutions. So US business is fetching a slightly higher margin as compared to India business.
So going forward, would we want to focus a lot on US rather than other markets, or what is our strategy in terms of geography?
So the focus will always be there wherever business is more and wherever the growth potential is more. But yet, I mean, you know, India is for us like, you know, the entire manufacturing activity, research and development activities, everything is happening in India. So India being, you know, you can say the core manufacturing happens here. So we need to always work on one side of like, you know, how do we improve our productivity? And US, of course, we get, you know, a lot of understanding what exactly market is looking for and how the, like, you know, nutraceutical market is behaving, what kind of, you know, growth potential is available in US as well as across the globe. So the focus as such will continue, and the US, because we are already present, we have our own subsidiary companies in US. So definitely that is the market where the focus will be more. But Europe, again, you know, we are working on so many things to really expand our customer base in that particular market also.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Prakash from Nathan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I just want to know a couple of things. One is, you know, just on a previous participant's question, I wanted to follow up on the loss of the large US customer. Can you just let me elaborate on what was the reason for the loss? And can, you know, incrementally, is there a risk of further losing other large customers?
Nitinji, we had a IP related issues with the large customer. We don't want to share our formulation and other things with them. We decided to walk out with that business instead of giving it to him. So we don't expect any further sale with the large customer right now. Moving to your other question, are we having any can we lose further the customers? Yes and no, because you can never predict whether you will lose or no. But right now, the concentration of a large customer is quite reduced compared to this customer, which was about at one point of time, like he was like controlling 22% of our sales. So right now we are quite diversified in terms of the sales. But even though we say that our business is sticky, but you never know.
Sure. Just a second question, you know, on utilization. As you mentioned, you're at about 50-60% utilization. But, you know, you still have very healthy EBITDA margins of 45-46% plus. So as you mentioned, in 3 to 5 years, when you reach close to optimal utilization, what kind of margins do you foresee both on the EBITDA and the PAT front? Because you'll definitely see some operating leverage play out on both those margins, right?
So we always maintain that our EBITDA should be there between 40-48%. That is what we always project and always feel that. Yes, as we move on, some of the costs will also go on, like the salary costs and some other fixed costs will also move on. Since even like R&D cost will also go up, so we think that we should be able to maintain the range of the margins, what we say, rather than saying that we will improve or do this or do that, because we still need to grow.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajdeep Singh from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, Kapraji and Rauka ji.
Good evening.
Good evening, Rajeevji.
Kapaji, you alluded that with current capacities, you plan to double revenues in next 5 years, which is 15% kind of growth. Sir, just wanted to understand qualitatively, the enzyme market per se is growing at 7-8%, and your growth rate of 15%, what would be the driver for this growth? Would it be existing client addition, getting more wallet share from there, or new client addition, or would it be volume, or would it be price, would it be new products? And how do you approach your clients? Do you approach them or the clients approach you? Just qualitative understanding. And within each of the three segments, between animal, human and industrial, which would be the growth driver or which would grow faster?
So, let me just break it up into the parts, right? So, we believe that like all of the three segments should grow. You go into the different areas and there are different challenges. In the one of the thing is, if you compare it globally, we are still very small, still very tiny. So there is a lot of potential to grow. And I think like that can answer you, if the enzyme industry is growing at 7-8%, how you can grow at 15%? Probably yes, we are growing. Even like last, even like this quarter or the other quarters also, we have grown more than 15%. But because of the top client, we can't see those numbers. If you just remove those numbers, you will see that the growth is more than 20%. So we don't have a doubt that we cannot grow. We feel that we will grow. The challenges are different in different industries. As I was saying, is in the food industry, probably you need to target more into the Europe and US areas where a lot of opportunity is there. We have certain excellent products. We think that we can play the second supplier role out there in the food industry, because there is only one who is the leading one, and we feel our products are, even if not better, at least comparable in the baking industries, baking areas, and the market are those. So clearly that's the other area where we can have growth. In the animal feed, there are a lot of players, but you need to have a lot of registrations and it takes time. We are in the process. We are halfway of the marks. We have a lot of registration done in the last few years in the Asian countries, and we are working in the US and other areas right now. So we believe that the growth should come from nutraceutical areas or pharma areas. We think that we will grow in these areas too. We have certain excellent combination of products which we think that that will grow, like the immunity booster and other products, which has a lot of demand at this point of time from the market. Also, we are working a lot of in this area, into the biocatalyst areas, where we think we can change the manufacturing processes. For example, statins or other API drugs, which is through the enzymes, which is conventionally being done through the lot of solvents, and a lot of steps are involved, and economically it is not viable. So with the EVOX, we are working heavily. We are spending a lot of money on the R&Ds to convert and to develop these enzymes, which can convert all of these APIs through the enzymes. So that will be also the growth driver. So we are banking on a lot of 3-4 different horses. We believe that at least one or two horses should take us to the path. Which one? I think that time will tell us. But these are our areas to grow.
Sure, sir. That is helpful. Sir, what has been the client addition over last 2-3 years? And what has been our pricing growth over last 2-3 years? Just wanted to understand that.
So, prices in the Indian market is more or less stable. They don't grow, they don't go down too drastically. We do get a benefit in terms of like export market, which is again like 40-50% of the market overall, including like US sale, because of the dollar fluctuations or the rupee depreciation. On the client additions, We don't track the numbers, but Ravka ji can tell more about it. Ravka ji?
So I think, whatever growth we have, say in this 6 months, we have got a growth of about 4%. So roughly, I think 1.5% has come from the new customer and balance 2.5 is from the existing customers.
Okay. And so what has been this number over the last 2-3 years? We have added clients.
Now, in number of customers, yeah, please don't go because, you know, we are in a segment where we also supply B2C. So where we have, you know, more than 10,000, 15,000 customers. What I'm saying is, if the name is something new for us, so how that is how we track. So my growth on YTD is, say, 4% on the top line. So out of this 4%, 1.5 has come from the new customer and 2.5% has come from the existing customers.
Okay. And how do you see the geographical mix changing in this 15% per annum growth trajectory? US will still be the growth driver or it is the European market, the other ROW market?
So are you saying going forward?
Yeah, going forward.
So going forward, I mean, you know, that's what I mean, as Mukund has mentioned, we have presence in Europe through our subsidiary companies. We have presence in US since, I think, 2011, when after the acquisition. Earlier, this company was set up somewhere in 1976. So these are the three markets where we have our own subsidiaries. So definitely our focus will be there on these markets. And apart from that, you know, other markets we are tapping from India. So we do export from India to African market and Russia. So our focus will always be there where we can really crack some customers in terms of, like, you know, food enzymes. Europe is a big market where we have registered, dossiers, which are the requirement of the European food safety authorities. And from, you know, this registered dossiers, we are going to get definitely a very, very good mileage because that will help us to expand our reach to other customers, the customers which we have. But, you know, we will be able to attract more customers because once the registration happens, it's like an attraction in that sense that, yeah, here is another company which is offering the products which are, you know, equally competitive, equally efficient products. And there, like, you know, a couple of products are such where we are, you know, number two in the sense after, like, you know, if you really consider another big player, this is Novozyme. So there, like, you know, we will play a very major role to expand our reach to the European markets and to expand our sales in that particular of that particular food enzymes, basically. And yes, of course, US will continue to be our focus market, and we are expanding our B2C business in US. And so far, we are doing, like, you know, online sales, and we could see that, you know, there is a good growth in that particular business. And probably going forward, we do have plans that, you know, we can replicate the same strategy in India, because now India, we could see that there is a lot of attraction in terms of, like, you know, people are looking at the nutraceuticals where immunity has become a big issue in last 8 to 9 months. So here we do have a lot of opportunities, which is untapped so far. So probably, you know, that is the area where we will definitely, you know, focus on that going forward. And animal feed supplement, as Mukund mentioned, that, you know, we have been working for registration of several products across, you know, countries in Southeast Asia. And now we could see that, you know, some of the countries we have got the approvals and some countries' approval process is on. So once the approvals are in place, it will definitely help us to, you know, supply our products on those particular countries where the market is really big for the animal feed supplements, which is our enzymes for, particular industry.
No, fair. This is helpful. And lastly, sir, what is the B2C revenues in US? And on the PLI side, are you planning to see that opportunity on the fermentation side?
I think the major manufacturing will continue to be happen in India. And B2B business, I think we B2B. Have about...
This year it will be around 5 million.
Yeah, B2C.
So you said online business B2C.
We expect
you have, so just wanted,
that is B2C. That is B2C. That is B2C. B2C. Online business is B2C.
Yes, sir, I'm asking
this
for
year
B2C.
We expect it to be about 5 million.
5 million?
This year we expect it about 5 million. Yeah, 5 million. Right.
5 million. Okay.
UNG.
Okay. Thank you. This is helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayaz Motiwala from Nevalis Partners. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening, gentlemen. I hope you can hear me because it's been very, very difficult to hear you all. And since you do this call once a quarter, I would request you if you could have a slightly better line because it's been very difficult to pick you some of the things that you mentioned. And so please pardon my repetition on the questions on the same. So firstly, the question on capacity, you said you have a capacity utilization in the ballpark of 50%. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah, it's 55.
So, I'm sorry?
Yeah, around 55%. Yeah.
Yeah. So the question that I have on this capacity is how does the capacity get created? While we have confidence that this will get utilized, and as you have said that on the next 3-5 year basis, you think your numbers could probably go up by a factor of two. This fermentation, etc. How can you explain how does this capacity get created and why? This level is a good level still to make the margins that you make.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't hear you exactly, but what I understood is how we calculate the capacity. So normally, we have a lot of products. We have more than 65 basic enzymes and probiotics, what we manufacture. It's difficult to measure the capacities with each product because each product has a different cycle times. So we measure in terms of fermentation capacities what we have because mainly we are in the fermentation industry. So the fermentation capacity multiplied by the days and the utilization of the fermenters, that's what gives us the capacity. So it's always a rough number.
This is how we come out at like somewhere around 55-60%.
Yeah.
Right. So this number of 55-60% taking that at face value, the way you put it, which is based on fermentation capacity. So would we expect larger batch runs and batch, product sizes going forward, which will give you this utilization? Because the basic nature of your business is not changing, which is you need that 60-80 building blocks and the base enzymes. The way you described it, right? So how are you going to utilize this capacity from 55-60% to 100%, sir?
No, we don't compromise on the margin. So we go with our product mix and targets, right? Instead of just making it cheap and giving it to the cheap, right? So
no, sir, I didn't
say that the capacity will grow.
I meant to say that
capacity utilization will grow.
Would you have larger batch runs on these products?
So that depends on, what exactly is the requirement because, we need to keep some stock ready of the semi-finished goods. So when we run when we need to manufacture particular products, then we run the batches in sequence, right? So we keep the stock ready.
We run on a minimum inventory basis normally because our product cycle time is very high. So if you want to start a product and to end the product, well, you need more than a month's time. And again, if that slot is available.
Okay. And so on the key customer, the 20% customer which you talked about, and that's what, again, I'm sorry, as I said, the audio was not very clear and please pardon me. that customer has bought nothing in FY21 for the first two quarters, is what you said, right?
Yes, yes. No sale.
Yes. For the last three quarters.
Yeah.
Right. And sir, what is the customer doing? Is they, are they sourcing indirectly from your supplier or have they gone out of buying this product?
For us, I think we are not supplying to them, and I think beyond that, we have no idea what exactly these people are doing.
Right. So, we see a presentation where you have a 5-year number after you have gone public in 2015-16, mm-hmm. and the revenue growth has been 8-9%, whereas the profit growth has been pretty impressive,
yeah.
even in this particular year, which is a very tough sort of COVID period. So what gives you the confidence? Have you done a lot of business development, where you have a lot of clients who are now going to scale up their business and operation, batch sizes, order sizes, where you think the business can double in 5 years, which you've not done in the last 5-7 years, or if you look at your IPO perspective even in the past?
Yeah, I think that's what that is what was explained, that a couple of verticals are there where we have some products and where we have focused ourselves. Earlier issues were different. So now the focus is the kind of laser sharp, and depending upon the market requirements, now we have realigned ourselves, and our focus is on those markets where we have the products, and those are kind of our strength. And for those products, whatever work was required to be done in past, we have done in couple of, I think, years, 2-3 years, we have spent a lot of R&D on those area. And we have improved. Now we could see that there is attraction, and that the attraction is so much that the market will open up for us, particularly when we were talking about the food enzymes in European market and nutraceutical segment, not only in US but India too. Animal feed business is another area where, if you really want to export some product, the challenges were that you need to have your products registered, you need to give them a lot of studies. So in the last 3 years, we have done a lot of work, and we worked on getting our product registered and then appointing the distributors. So based on all this work which we have done, we are confident that now the opportunities with any case assets were available, but earlier we used to spend our time and focus on the product where the strength was not there, but we were just working to develop those products. Now we said, okay, that is the work which we also will carry out, but focus should be on the area where we are very strong. And that has really resulted us to give more clarity in this consolidation phase of last 2 years. And that gives us the confidence, yes, we can grow to, doubling ourselves in 5 years. Although this year is gone without, that kind of efforts because of this COVID situation. So maybe from 21 onwards, 5 years down the line, this will happen.
Okay.
Hope I have clarified your question.
Yeah, this is very helpful, sir. Thank you very much. And I'll be on the call with the
referral. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, as we were talking about the opportunities evolving after this COVID thing, so any color or any clarity we got that how it would be shaping up going forward, or still it is on the early stage of talking angle only?
I think, Rohit, this clarity, even, nobody is able to give you in that sense, because this pandemic now, everywhere people are talking about the second wave of it.
Right.
So, I mean, that is really difficult. But what I am saying, once the normalcy is there, and after that, probably, you know, we have got more clarity about ourselves, that what is the area where we will definitely focus and grow.
No, I mean, I am looking at, I mean, obviously, in the current whatever area we are working on there, we are seeing some kind of growth. But any addition because of this COVID, where we can, I mean, where the talks are going on?
No, even in COVID, like, you know, I think our couple of products which are like, you know, immune boosters and... those are the products which are picking up in the B2C market, and we could see some kind of, you know, work on some of our products, which we see that, you know, it is definitely, you know, working on immunity development. So those are the products, definitely, you know, over a period of time we will position ourselves to create a more robust market for ourselves.
Okay. Okay. And sir, as a per my understanding, I think we have a good amount of product portfolio with us. I think, I mean, we should be focusing more on the marketing side for these things. So, are we hiring something on the marketing team, or how we are expanding our marketing team there? And is this will lead to some kind of increase in employee cost as well?
So that is a consistent, you know, efforts every, I think, entrepreneur has to do. So you need, when you want to grow, you need to really grow your team as well as, you know, your resources and the spending. If there is a growth, I think the growth in terms of, you know, top line and the employee cost, it doesn't go, you know, in the same proportion. So that's the reason we always say that, you know, there may be some kind of a extra cost, but you know, the profitability is another aspect where we always work. So whatever,
okay, Rohit, and whatever said and done, you need to improve your productivity all the time.
Yes.
You cannot say that we are at a level where we should only focus on the marketing. We need to focus on all the aspects. Just to give you some brief, even if this quarter we improved lot of because of our productivity, so you will see that the raw material numbers has gone down. That has increased the productivity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the last question, as you were also now indicating that there could be some acquisition angle also. So just, how big it could be and where, I mean, which region or which segment you would be more focusing on?
So these are the three segments, like the verticals what we explained. So we will be focusing on these three areas and something like related to this. So the opportunities are there. Some are small, some of the big. Let's see which materializes first. Okay.
Okay. So I mean, are we still, I mean, also looking at the size of acquisition more than 50-60 crore, or it would be below 50 crore, I mean the range of 30-40 crore kind of thing?
We are open for everything, maybe 30-40 crore to max up to 500 crore.
Okay sir, that is from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shubham Jain from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Kabraji and Rokaji.
Just a quick question
on the dossiers you mentioned you filed in the European equivalent of the FDA, right?
Right.
You know, we've been mentioning this for a while, and I just want to understand. I know, given the context, it's going to take some time. But do we expect that to hit our revenues this year, or will it come in only next year?
No, it's already. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Manus. Sorry.
So we registered in somewhere around like 2014, and we got it in somewhere around like 2019-20. So that's a long process for registration. It takes more than 5 years for us to just get the approvals, and not for us, for everyone, We were the, among the first few ones who got it. Okay. Said after like saying this, this year for European market you need to travel, and you need to make a lot of different customers. You need to do a lot of trials because this is application-based product. Now, unfortunately, this year is gone because of the pandemic. So that there are all the travel restrictions. All the marketing people are still working from the homes. Nobody is able to travel outside of India as of now on the for the marketing purposes and other purposes. So we don't expect a lot of revenue to come this year. Probably as we move on, we expect revenues to get in. But this will be a slow process.
Understood. So most likely nothing this year, but next year we'll see as it goes.
Yeah, as we move on and as this COVID situation is clear.
Understood. The second question I had was on the B2C business, the online sales, which if I'm not wrong, we started only this year. And you're saying we've reached, we should be doing around $5 million this year. So my question was, what is the kind of growth we're seeing quarter on quarter, and what do you think can be the potential of this product or this application?
So as we haven't started recently. We started this business four years back. I'm not sure exact date right now.
Yeah, 2012.
2000 we started initially in the US market. Last year the revenue was about $3 million. I mean, like the March 20, the revenue was about $3 million USD. This year we expect it to grow to $5 million, and in the next 2 to 3 years we expect a lot of growth to come from this, even into the US market. Probably we believe that we can double it from here, from this year and next 2 years. So the growth drivers mainly are like our own products, like the products like immunity boosters, weight loss, systematic enzymes, which we have created a lot of formulations. Even like some of the formulations, we are taking a lot of trials on the COVID and other areas as well, and which we have a lot of good success. So these are the formulations, our end-to-end customers, and we believe that this area is going to grow. Did I answer your question or I missed something?
No, I think that was pretty helpful. Just one follow-up on that. What is the brand under which we sell these products? As in, is it it's direct to customers? So what's the brand under
which we sell? So we have a company named AST Enzymes. So this, all these products are sold under the AST Enzymes.
And you, AST, that's correct,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
AST, yeah.
And do we sell it through Amazon or do we sell it through our own website?
Yeah, it is through Amazon also.
It's a combination of all.
Yeah.
Understood. And typically what brands or companies do we compete with on this? Like, is there some local competition or is there some global competition we get on these
kinds
of?
There are several nutrition companies in that sense. Subham.
Typical nutrition company only, right?
Yeah.
Understood. The last
our USP is like we are the enzyme experts, right? So we know the enzymes better than anyone who is there in the market.
So okay, understood. The other last question that I had was, like you had mentioned in one of our interactions, that you were able to develop this whole baking line of products through a bit of R&D that you all were doing. So just to understand, are there any molecules or are there any, sorry, not molecules, but enzymes or processes that you are developing that you think are closer to execution or fruition?
So there are a lot of molecules. We always develop 4 or 5 molecules at least every year, right? So there are a lot of additions in our basket. The difficulty in our business is you don't get the revenues for the next 2-3 years, even if you have added anything, and it takes time. So this is always a process, constant process. You always add 4 or 5 different enzymes at least every year in your portfolio, different products in your portfolio as you move on. But to see the converting into the business, it takes time.
Got it. Understood. Understood. That is from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Jain from ITI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving us the opportunity. So the way you highlighted out of this 4% year-to-date revenue growth, 1.5% was from new customers. Can you highlight from the same number for new products, whatever you have launched 2 or 3 years back, the way you said you get revenue after 2-3 years after launching these molecules or enzyme? So how much growth out of this 4% that you have got from this new product?
No, it's not so easy because, you know, most of the enzymes are sold in blended form, right? So it is really very difficult because we have several different enzymes which are supplied in bulk, you know, in a combination of. So, I mean, you know, from how much is coming from one product, because when you give to the customer, you give it a combination. So it really becomes difficult to track in that sense.
Okay. And yeah, what will
sorry, sir.
Go ahead.
No, it's very difficult, but at the same time, I can see that some of the revenues which are coming right now into the biocatalyst area is like being developed 2-3 years back.
Okay. Yeah, biocatalysts and probiotics, in that sense, we can say, yes. That is a growing business where we can see in that sense. But when probiotics is mixed with some other product, then it becomes really difficult to track that particular enzyme.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And sir, any outlook on this R&D spend? Because I guess from last 2-3 years, it will be hovering at around 18-19 crore.
Yeah.
Before that, it was at 11 crore. So any outlook whether it will go up or it will remain at the similar amount for next couple of years?
I think it will remain in the range of 4-5% because as the top line grows, then, you know, the R&D spend is also, if it is based on the top line, so the growth in terms of, you know, increase in the increase on the top line is growth in the R&D spending as well. But yes, there are some plans going forward. I think Mukund can highlight those plans where we have already acquired a land in Sinnar. So going forward, we will be spending some money on development of our R&D capabilities in the Nasik area. Sorry, not Sinnar, Nasik, where we have done, you know, land acquisition. We have acquired the land. So probably that will be a time period of about 3 years where we will be spending about roughly, I think, 60-70 crores.
Okay. Okay. And sir, anything, any further scope to reduce net working capital cycle?
Very difficult because this is several products and we are increasing our portfolio again. So inventory level always we need to maintain. And the inventory again, you know, there are several inventory. You have the raw material, semi-finished, which is, you know, the major issue, which constitutes the major portion of our inventory. And we have, you know, 3 different plants to manufacture the enzymes. One is like in Hyderabad, one in Sinnar and one in MP. And apart from that, you know, couple of subsidiary companies. So everywhere you maintain some kind of a stock. So inventory level is always higher in that sense. And now, in spite of, you know, although the COVID situation is very bad, but yet, you know, our debtors level is kind of, you know, constant, but yet we also need to maintain the debtors level, which is about 60-65 days of the debtors. So we feel like, you know, about 105-115 number of, you know, days of the sales will continue to be our working capital investment.
Okay. And so final question, what will be our organic capex apart from this inorganic acquisition, which you have highlighted?
I think it's about 12 crores.
Normal capex, 10 crores a year.
Okay. And this R&D, which you have highlighted over the next 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3-4 years. Yeah.
Okay. And that's 60-70 crores.
Right.
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Tapan Modi, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Tapan, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations for the better set of quarter two numbers.
Thank you, Tapan.
Yeah, thank you. So just one thing I wanted to understand as well. So basically, as you explained and spoken earlier, wherein US set of numbers are quite impressive with 35% growth as such.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since we are in mid-November as such, so do you foresee the same level of growth in quarter 3 and 4 as well?
I mean, you know, it is really in this pandemic situation very, very difficult to, let me tell you, give any kind of, you know, estimate, because the problem is now in some of the countries again facing the COVID situation. So it is really, really very difficult to say about it. Yes, that we are kind of going to have the same kind of a growth.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for October and November, sales are little bit improving as compared to previous months or something.
So we won't be able to comment on that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Pause, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
No, I'm not. You are not audible. There's a lot of disturbance in the line.
Is it clear now?
Yeah, much better.
Okay, so my question is, on page 4 of investor presentation, you have said second highest market share in India and second listed integrated enzyme player. So can you name the first one?
Second highest market share in India, that is what you are saying, right?
Yes, yes. So the first one, the name of the first one?
First one is, you know, the multinational company. This is, I think, Novozymes.
Pardon?
Novozymes.
Okay, okay. And second question is, since you're in the guidance of doubling the revenue in 5 years, so what will the capex level? Will it be similar or will it increase?
I think we don't have to spend any substantial amount on expanding our capacity as of day. But once we reach to a level, so at least, you know, we need to plan 2 years ahead of the, you know, the time by which we, our capacity utilization is going to be, say, about 100% or so. So next, I think 3 years of our capex will be in the range of about 12 crores or so, other than, you know, R&D, which I just now spoke about it.
Yes.
And once we reach to a level where our capacity utilization is, say, around 90%, or about 80 to 85%, that's where we will have to add some, I think, infrastructure in our existing plant. This has already been built up in such a way that, you know, all the utilities are in place. So by adding a couple of fermenters, and we can double our capacity. So that will happen once we reach to that threshold of, you know, about 80 to 85% utilization.
Okay. And my last question. What is the geographical revenue split do you see 5 years down the line? The US, Europe and India percentage.
Yeah, it should be continued the same way, because our focus is in India market, Europe market and US three markets. And of course, Asian markets now, because of the registration of our products, particularly in animal feed business. So we will focus on, you know, all the aspects of our business to make sure that, you know, we have that kind of a consistency in that terms. And then rest depends how actually it happens.
Okay, because the European revenue share is quite low currently, about 5 to 10%.
Agreed. Yes.
So it's expected to remain the same level, below 10%.
Going forward, as we have mentioned, that, you know, the sale of couple of enzymes which are particularly for the food industry, that will grow. So definitely, you know, the likely trends will be there. But again, we need
those
to also
catchers,
work on.
Those will be catchers mostly from the India. So it will not come directly under the Europe company. So it will come under the India company. So more or less, it will remain the same on the percentage basis.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I just had one follow-up question. The R&D plan that we were talking about, which has been delayed by 6 to 8 months, is there any guidance on when that will commence now?
So it will take some time, Shikha. Right now we are doing in the NA processing and other things. All the government agencies are really very slow at this point of time. So there is not too much of a clarity because of all of this COVID and other situation. So maybe like from the starting of the next year, probably we should be able to start.
Right. And how much would that increase our PAT by, approx, on an annualized figure?
It will not like give you direct numbers right away.
We were speaking of some amount of efficiencies, right, due to the R&D plant.
No, so the R&Ds are always needed in our business. It's a very interesting business where we say that 1 plus 1 is not 2, but we always say that 1 plus 1 is 11. Okay. The reason for this is like you can increase the productivity to the multiple folds with the continuous R&D, but it requires time, Shikha. You can't expect the results to come out right away the moment you put the R&D plant and R&D equipment right away.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, everyone. Please go ahead. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. We hope to deliver in the future as well. Thank you, everyone, and have a good, happy Diwali.
So wish you all a very happy Diwali and a happy new and prosperous year. And please stay safe and healthy and take care of yourself and all the family members. Thank you so much for your time and question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.